Now, inshallah ta'ala, I will be handing over the mic to Mufti Zahid Hussain Rizvi Sahib, who is, mashallah, very known amongst the scholars of Ahlul Sunnah wal Jama'ah. Their knowledge is, mashallah, very clean and pure. And the connection, I would say, with Bareilly Sharif is more closer to anyone who is here. And for that reason, we always trouble them to come here and bless us with their presence. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless them. And inshallah ta'ala, now I will be requesting from them to speak on this topic. And inshallah ta'ala, I hope that after listening to the talk, a lot of the confusion will be removed from your minds, and many misconceptions, they will be gone away, inshallah ta'ala. Mufti Zahid Hussain Rizvi Sahib.
Alhamdulillah. Alhamdulillah Rabbil Alameen, wa salatu wa salamu ala Sayyidil Anbiya'i wal Mursaleen, wa ala alihi wa ashabihi ajma'in. Amma ba'd, fa'udhu billahi minash shaitanir rajim, bismillahir rahmanir rahim. وَكُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ صَدَقَ اللَّهُ الْعَظِيمُ وَصَدَقَ رَسُولُهُ النَّبِيُّ الْأَمِينُ الْكَرِيمُ. السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. I appreciate that you lot have invited me here today. I have not come here to do a speech. Instead, I believe it should be a classroom environment where I will try and explain some things to you that you may not understand until now. So before I begin, I'd like everybody to come closer and sit together so that it seems like there's a class sitting here. Jo buzurg hazrat hai, wo aap baithe rahe, aapko agar takleef hai, to aap zahmat na kare. Those who are young and who have no problem with their back, it'd be better if you come closer. And okay, I want today's session to be slightly different than normal, where I am not the only speaker. I want you to interact with me as well. So inshallah, if you can tell me what you need to understand, then I can try and explain that for you. Okay, so first of all, I would like some of you to put their hands up and tell me what they do not understand and what they find confusing about the times of namaz and sahri in the UK. Okay. Can everybody hear me clearly?
Yeah.
Okay. Can you hear me in the back? Okay. Acha, so anybody put your hand up so that I can see what there is that you don't understand. Okay, what's your name?
My name is Harun. And I just want to ask, I think most people would want to ask as well, it's on their mind. The reason I came is because there's so many masjids close, like for example, you have this Madni Masjid, then we have Broad Street Masjid, and so many masjids so close, how come the timing is so different, and yet we're so close, and that's what I want to know, and that's confusing me, so that's why I'm here.
Very good. Okay, inshallah, I shall explain that. Anybody else? I understand some of you already have some knowledge of this. Anybody else, what they want to understand today? Any confusion? Yeah.
So, basically, there's no confusion for me personally. Question is really, is it the fard knowledge for the general lay public to be familiar with the technicalities? Or is it sufficient for me, for like myself, to basically follow whatever the Imam Sahib says and stick to that timetable?
That's a very good question, inshallah. I shall touch on that as well today. Anybody else? Anything else that somebody needs answering? Anybody that knows about this already, but there is something that they don't understand? Yeah, do you have a question?
It's okay, you can pull forward the question.
Well, the question was similar to his. I was just going to say, like, rapid and leaf, there's a big time difference for it to close and resolve. Similar to his.
Okay, very good. Anybody else? Anything? Any confusion?
Assalamu alaikum. Maybe you may not be able to answer the question, but I'm familiar that there are different formulas used to calculate the time, the Sahri time. And if possible, can we have a definitive answer whether they're all correct, some are correct, or specifically which one is correct?
Of course, that is very important, because without that, how can we determine this is correct and this is what we must follow if we don't prove that the others are wrong? Okay? Anybody else? Anything else? Anyone? Yes?
Just one question. It alludes to what Brother Idris has mentioned. For those people who don't follow the school of thought that we follow, 15 degrees and other timings, are their paths valid? Is the question.
Okay, very good. Inshallah, we will touch on all of that. Anybody else have anything? Last opportunity to ask. Because I will explain it. If you don't mention it, then I may not explain it. Okay? I don't want anybody to leave without having something left unexplained. So if you are here, you've come to understand something, you need to leave here after understanding it or giving me an opportunity to explain it. Anybody? Yep.
Can you use Muswak that be favoured?
Muswak that is favoured. Okay.
Mufti Sahib at the back, I think so. The
G.
We know many points, but we can listen to you. We have to follow.
Okay. I understand there are many people here that already know a lot about the times. Okay. So for you lot, I'd like to say to you that please just bear with me, because I will start from the very beginning. Okay, very, very beginning, because the first question that was asked is, there are time differences. Why is it what we should follow? So to explain why there is a time difference, I need to start from the very beginning, which you may already know. So just sit back, bear with me, and inshallah, give me the chance to explain that to the others. Is there anybody else that wants to ask anything? Okay, so why is it that we have different timetables in different masajid, which are very close to each other? In some towns, there's a masjid that is just across the road from one of the masjids, and they're both our masjids. They both are connected to the maslak of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Yet, one of them are performing the Isha Salah at a very, very early time, and the other is performing their Isha Salah later. Okay, the beginning time. And then the Sahri time differs. One of them are closing their Sahri at about 1:10 or 1:20, and it varies throughout the month, and one of them is closing their Sahri at about 3 o'clock. Okay, and then there's another masjid which closes it at about 2 o'clock. Okay, we need to understand why there is this difference and when this difference came into the UK. So first of all, from my knowledge, what I know is that when the people from Pakistan and India came to the UK, when they came, first people that came here from our communities, they were not scholars. Okay, they were not ulama kiram, and all they knew is that they have to perform 5 times salah. So how do we work out what the time of salah is? The simple 2 times for salah are the time of Fajr ends when the sun rises, and the time of Maghrib begins when the sun sets. Okay, that is simple, everybody knows that. So we don't need to worry about Maghrib salah. As soon as the sun sets, we shall perform our Maghrib salah. And every book of railway times of railway, it has the time of sunset in it. It tells you exactly what time sunset is every day. Okay, so people knew what time sunset was, people knew what time sunrise was. But they didn't know the times of Isha, and they didn't know the time of Fajr. What time did Fajr begin? So, from my knowledge, especially from the community from India, I know that they used Bahari Sharia. Okay, Bahari Sharia, written by Sadru Sharia alayhi rahma. Does anybody not know who Sadru Sharia is? Nobody knows. Well, many of you don't. Okay, Sadru Sharia, Allama Sadru Sharia, Allama Amjadali Azmi, Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, is the right-hand man of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, we are all followers of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Sadru Sharia alayhi rahma, he came to Huzur Sadru Sharia, and Huzur Sadru Sharia was sent by his teacher. And when his teacher sent Sadru Sharia to Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, he wrote in the letter and he says that I am sending you a diamond that doesn't exist. in the world. Okay, he is one of his kind. There is none other like him. And I have sent him to you. When he came in the court of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala used his expertise and also taught him a lot. Okay, so Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma was already a scholar when he came to the court of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. And then came a time when Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala liked Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma so much that once Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala amongst the people said that Sadr al-Sharia, he laid down a table, he had a table placed, and he told Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma to sit on that table. When Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma sat on that table, he says that Sadr al-Sharia, I appoint him as the Qadi of Sindh, Hind and Sindh. And at that time, India, Pakistan, all was one. Okay? I have appointed him as the Qadi. He is the chief judge of the whole of India. And at that time, India and Pakistan was all one. Okay? In another narration, it says that Sadr al-Sharia and Mufti Azam Hind alayhi rahma were placed on that table. And Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala said that whatever they say is my opinion. So this is the status of Sadr al-Sharia alayhi rahma. And Sadr al-Sharia was the one who requested Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala to translate the Quran. And what used to happen was Sadr al-Sharia would read the verse, would write the translation down as Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala read the translation out. Okay? So there was a time fixed for the translation of the Quran. Sadr al-Sharia used to come with a pen and paper, and Allah Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala used to do the translation in Urdu, and Sadr al-Sharia used to write. So Kanzul Iman that we have today, we should thank Sadr al-Sharia for that. Okay? And then Sadr al-Sharia is the one who led the janazah salah of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. Okay? So when Allah Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala wrote his wasiyah, his last will, he said that my son Hujjatul Islam, Allama Hamid Raza Khan, Rahmatullahi ta'ala alayhi, shall perform my janazah salah when I pass away. With the condition that he knows every single narrated dua for janazah salah. The dua that the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said once you perform in the janazah salah, recite. If he knows all of them off by heart, then he may perform my janazah salah. And if he doesn't, then Sadr al-Sharia shall read my janazah salah before. Okay? Without any condition. Okay? So that is Sadr al-Sharia. Huzur Sadr al-Sharia wrote a book called Bahar al-Sharia. And Bahar al-Sharia is known as the encyclopedia of fiqh for the Hanafi Madhab. Okay? And this book is so accepted that Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala has also verified many of the parts of Bahar al-Sharia, that I have read them and they are all correct according to the Hanafi Madhab. Okay, every scholar looks into Bahar al-Sharia when they need help. So Bahar al-Sharia is a very authentic book. So when our people came to the UK and they wanted to work out the time for Isha, for the Isha and the Fajr beginning time, what they did was they looked into Bahar al-Sharia. And in Bahar al-Sharia it says that Maghrib ki namaz ke baad تقریباً ایک گھنٹہ بیس منٹ تئیس منٹ something like this عشاء کا وقت ہو جاتا ہے ٹھیک ہے and it says یہاں and یہاں means in India okay so it says یہاں عشاء کی نماز مغرب کے ایک گھنٹہ بیس منٹ تئیس منٹ اس طرح کی عبارت لکھی ہے بحار شریعت میں you can look into بحار شریعت okay and it says that and the word یہاں was disregarded by these people. And they, what they did was, they got the time of sunset, they added 1 hour and 23 minutes, and they set that as the time of Isha Salah. Okay? In the same way, they found out the time of sunrise, and they minus 1 hour and 20 minutes, and they set that as the time of Fajr beginning. Okay? Does that make sense? It was simple for them to do that, because Bahar al-Sharia clearly says that. But they missed the point where it said Yaha. And Yaha means at that time Sadr al-Sharia wrote that part maybe in Bareli Sharif or in Ghawsi Sharif. Okay? And Ala Hazrat Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala in his Fatawa Razviya, Ala Hazrat clearly says that here in Bareli Sharif, 1 hour and 20 minutes, and as you move towards the west, that increases. When you get to Gujarat in India, the time increases, not 1 hour 20 minutes, about 1 hour 30 minutes or more. Okay? Does that make sense? And Ala Hazrat radiallahu ta'ala said, the more you move towards the west, the more the time will be between Maghrib and Isha. So this was incorrect. How we came to know this is when, well, how I know, is because my Piro Murshid, Huzur Sadr Sharia, the one who wrote Bahari Sharif, his son, Huzur Muhaddis Kabir, came to the UK. He came to the UK, and the great grandson of Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, Huzur Taj al-Sharia, Allama Mufti Akhtar Raza Khan al-Azali, he came to the UK. They came to the UK, and my Piro Murshid, Huzur Muhaddis Kabir, he said to me many a times that I have always been told by Huzur Hafiz al-Millat and my teachers that you should always work out the time of namaz and then pray namaz accordingly. You shouldn't always follow the calendar. Okay, the calendar is based on that calculation. But they had that habit of working out the time on their calculator. And this formula that they used was a formula given by Imam Ahmad Raza Khan radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, this is given by Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala. He came to the UK, and once in Preston, they were sat to eat Sahri, the time of Sahri, the time of Fajr. And he says to the person whose house he was in, and the name of that person is Salim Gisa in Preston. Okay? In the house of Salim Gisa in Preston, he says to him, and this is about 25 to 30 years from today, he says that the time of Sahri is until this time. After that, we must not eat. And Salim Gisa at that time didn't have any knowledge about this. He says, no, Hazrat, you are wrong. This is Huzur Muhaddis Kabir. And he's saying to him that, Hazrat, you are wrong. I'll show you. And he goes and gets the calendar for the masjid. And he says, look, Hazrat, it says this time on this. There's still half an hour left. Or there's still 1 hour left. And Huzur Muhaddis Kabir shows him the calculation. And he says, no, the time of Fajr has begun. We must not eat anymore. Okay? After this, Salim Gisa started to, he called the observatory, he asked them, and he started to do research. And then other ulama-i kiram, Huzur Muhaddis Kabir invited other scholars, they all sat down, and from amongst them I remember Mufakkir Islam, Allama Qamruzzam Azmi Sahib was also there. He explained to the ulama that look, these times of salah for the Isha time and for the Fajr time is incorrect according to what you lot are following. And he showed them that his calculation, and he said to them that you can match my calculation with that of the observatory, and you will find that my calculation is correct. And Huzur Taj al-Sharia Allama Azhari Mia was also present at that time. And they both agreed that yes, this is the correct time, and you can match it with the observatory. And we had that matched with the observatory, and it was exactly as Huzur Muhaddis Kabir had shown on his calculator. Okay? I went off to India and I studied, and whilst I finished my scholarship, my alim course, I learned ilm tawqit, and I learned the formula to calculate the times of Isha and Fajr and Maghrib and all the rest of the times of Salah. I learned that calculation, and on a calculator, having the longitude of and the latitude of a place and knowing the inclination of the sun for each day, I can work out exactly what time to the second what time the sun is going to set, and I can work out what time to the second the sun is going to rise in Halifax. Okay, all I need to know is the longitude and the latitude. I already have a book which has the inclination of the sun, which is known as Mele Shamsi, for the whole year, and the movement of the sun remains the same every day throughout the year. Okay, as in every year on the 14th of June, the sun's inclination from the day before is going to be exactly the same as it was last year. Okay, and this is because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has made the movement of the sun steady and the same all every year. Okay, now what you need to understand, first of all, is when we use the longitude and latitude to work out the namaz times, we need something called the degree. Okay, we need to work out the degree of the sun. Where the sun is at the time we want to work out that namaz for. So for example, if a person is standing here, can everybody see that? That's a person. Okay? A person is standing there, and when the sun is above his head and it's slightly just moved from the middle, let's say the sun has slightly moved from the middle, That is the time of Zohar Salah. Okay? When the sun is right on top and it's slightly moved from the highest point, that's the time of Zohar Salah. Okay? When the sun comes here, that's the time of sunset. Hannah? If a person standing on the earth looks straight, the sun sets over there. Tika? Does everybody understand that? The sun is going to set straight. And the calculation for Maghrib Salah is 90.49. They say 90.49 degrees, as given by Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, is the time you work out the Maghrib Salah for. So how do we work out the 90 degrees? This is a 90 degree angle. Okay, we all go to school, we know that that is a 90 degree angle, don't we? Hannah, everybody knows that this is a 90 degree angle. We've done that in school. Those people who weren't good at maths, even they will remember that that's a 90 degree angle. Okay? And those of you who don't, if you drive a car and you're used to using your handbrake to turn, you will know that that is 180. 90 plus 90, 180. Hannah? So that is 180. Yeah? And then all the way round, 360. Tika, we all understand that. Is there a board rubber? No? Tissue? Yeah?
Excuse me. It would be better if you have a black marker.
Right.
Because that's not very clear.
It isn't, is it? Sorry. Anybody have any tissue or something that we can use to rub?
It's coming. It's gone.
Okay, this is where the degrees are coming from. It's factual information. These degrees are factual, okay? Everybody knows these degrees. They're not made up by anybody from amongst our ulama. These are degrees that are accepted throughout the world in maths. Okay, so this is a 90 degree angle. Everybody knows that. And that's what we work out the time of. The time of Maghrib. The time of Maghrib will always be on a 90 degree angle from your head. Okay, Samtul Ras. This is known as Samtul Ras, when you look straight up into the sky and then you look straight. That is a 90 degree angle, and that's why the time of Maghrib is on 90 degrees. And we add 49 because that's where the sun will be when the sun is set. And that's when we perform our Maghrib Salah. Okay? Exactly the same for sunrise. If you look the other way, sunrise will be exactly the same. 90.90 degrees 49. Nare
Takbir. Allahu Akbar. Nare Risalat. Ya Rasulullah.
Hazrat Mufti Shamshul Huda Sahib Qibla. Okay, so this is the 90 degree angle on which we work out the time of Maghrib, Salah, and sunrise. And this is very simple. For Zohar, as I said, when the sun is about there, that is the time of Zohar Salah. As soon as it moves from its highest point, which is known as Zawal, Zawal al-Shams, Zawal al-Shams, when the sun has slightly moved from its highest point, that's the beginning time of Zohar. Okay, we don't perform Salah when the sun is on its highest point, because that was the time when the worshippers of the sun used to worship the sun. Okay, so we wait for it to move from its highest point, that's when we perform our Zohar Salah. The time of Asr, we have to work out a degree for different days for the Asr Salah. And there's a calculation that Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala has given us to find out what degree that is. Okay, and the time of Asr is around there, where the shadow of everything becomes twice its size, okay, including the Sahih Asli. Okay, so for example, if when the sun is right in the middle, right on top of you, and there is a slight shadow, there's a slight shadow about that much, or even that much, that is known as the Sahih Asli. When the sun moves on this side, this shadow will come over here. And looking at the Sahih Asli, which is there, after that, two sizes of this, when the sun reaches about there, that's when the time of Asr will begin. Okay, so there's no specific degree for the Asr Salah, but that is how we work it out. The way we work out the Asr Salah without the calculation is by sticking something into the ground and then seeing what its shadow is at midday, and then when it comes to twice its size, that's when we perform the Asr Salah. Okay, so now we have sunrise, we've got Zahr Salah, we've got Asr Salah, and we've got Maghrib Salah. Question now is, what time is Isha Salah? Okay, and before I give you a degree for that, which you all probably know, you need to understand one thing, that when the sun sets, when the sun has set, the horizon where the sun has set, so if we say the sun is setting here, this horizon, the sky, where the sun has set, you can still see the light of the sun, okay, and it becomes red. It's all red because the sun is slightly below the horizon there, okay? And the sky where the sun has set, that's what we call the horizon. So when the sun has set, there'll be redness there. That is known as the Shafaq-e Ahmar, okay? The red horizon, or in the English language, according to the astronomers, it's known as the nautical twilight. The reason why that redness is there is because the sun is just below it. Okay, as the sun goes, sets more, the more further it goes from that horizon, the light is going to become, start to fade away. Okay, and what happens is when the sun goes lower and lower, slowly the redness disappears and whiteness appears in the horizon. Okay, whiteness appears. And the reason why that whiteness is there is simply because the sun is below the horizon. And the more it moves down, the whiteness slowly starts to fade away. Okay? And it comes to a point where the sun has gone so low that the effect of its light is not seen on the horizon anymore. Okay? And you can understand that by this simple bottle here. If I put this bottle, if the bottle is there and I have a light over here. Okay? If I have a light over here, you're all going to see it. When I move the light down, you're all going to be able to see an effect of that light. Okay? You'll see some sort of light there, which indicates to you that there is a light below there which is shining on this atmosphere here. When I move it more lower, the light is slowly going to disappear. Okay? There is going to be one point where this light is going to disappear. And if I say that is a 90 degree angle, and over here this is 90 degrees, okay? There is going to be a specific degree where this light is when it will not be seen from here. The effect will not be seen. And that is going to be the same whether I take this to India, or whether I take this to Pakistan. That degree is going to be exactly the same. That degree is going to be exactly the same. When it reaches here, you won't be able to see any light there. Okay? So for the whole world, this degree is going to be exactly the same. When the sun goes lower, there's a certain point where that sun will be when you will not see any effect of that sun. Okay, and according to the Hanafi Madhab, according to the correct Hanafi Madhab, the hukum, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, is that the Isha Salah is إِذَا سْوَدَّ الشَّفَقْ, when the shafaq becomes completely dark. Okay, so when the sun has set, when the shafaq has become completely dark, after that red light, after the white light, when everything's gone, when it has become completely dark, that is when the time of Isha begins, according to the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and according to our great Imam, Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala an. And that is the time we will perform our Isha Salah. Okay? Does everybody understand that? Ji?
Well, we are here in England, you know. You are talking about India and Pakistan.
No, no, I am talking about England.
Well, that is not that clean that people see. visible.
Yeah, when you do mushahada, you do not take into account whether in your country there is rain or there is fog. You have to do mushahada in a place where there is no rain, no artificial light, no type of pollution, smoke. All these things must not be there. That is the place where you can do mushahada. Okay? Whether you're in India or you're in the UK, when it's raining over here, we can't do mushahada because we will not be able to determine that light. Okay, you will have many, many days in the UK where you will look towards the horizon where the sun has set. You won't see anything there, okay, because the clouds have covered it. That does not mean that the sun has not set. Okay? So whether you're in India or you're in UK or you're in Pakistan, you must find a place where it is absolutely clear so that you can do a clear mushahada. There is no interference of any pollution, any rain or any problems through weather. Does that make sense? Okay, so this, what I'm talking about, is for the UK. So, if the sun has set over here, and we say that the person is standing here, and the sun has set there, here is where we see the nautical twilight, which is the redness in the sky. According to the Sahibain, the two great students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, the time of Isha begins as soon as that redness disappears. Okay, so let's say that the sun has come, let's say here, and there's the horizon, okay? There's the land. There's the land, and the sun has gone below. Okay, so the sun is here. It's gone below the earth, so there's redness here. Okay, according to the Sahibain, when that redness disappears, the time of Isha has begun. Okay, does that make sense? The redness has disappeared and whiteness has appeared. So the sun has gone so low that the redness of the sun is not visible anymore. According to the Sahibain, according to Imam Shafi'i radiallahu ta'ala, the Isha time has now begun. But according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala, as I said, because there is still whiteness over here, there's still whiteness there, we cannot yet perform our Isha Salah. It is still time for Maghrib. Okay? The end of Maghrib is the beginning of Isha. And according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa, when there is whiteness still present there, we can still not perform our Isha Salah. It's not the beginning of Isha. Does everybody understand that? That's the difference between the Sahibain and Imam Azam Abu Hanifa.
Yeah. What about between May and July?
Yeah, we'll come to that. I'm just explaining the basics first. Okay, so this whiteness, this redness disappears according to the Sahibain, when this redness has disappeared, their Isha time begins. Now, the scientists, the astronomers, and they all say that when the sun has come 12 degrees, 12 degrees below the horizon, that is when the redness will disappear.
My apologies, Mufti, I'm rookie there. You've used two terminologies which I think for the benefit the audience will not understand. The mushahada and the sahibain, if you can use English terminology. Please.
Okay. Mushahada is to witness yourself, okay? To go out and you see where you can see the horizon. That is mushahada. When I say Sahibain are the two students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala. Two of the main students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa. And namely they are Imam Abu Yusuf radiallahu ta'ala and Imam Muhammad radiallahu ta'ala. Okay, nobody's taking notes. But if somebody is, the Sahibain are them two, the most famous two students of Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala. And there were many more. Okay, there were many more students, but these two are the most famous, and they are known as the Sahibain. The astronomers say that when the sun goes below 12 degrees below the horizon, that redness will now disappear, and the whiteness will appear. Okay, so first of all, let me write that down for you, to make it clear for you. So, Shafaq-e-Ahmar is the redness. Okay, can you see that? Shafaqi Ahmar is the redness. And according to our ulama, that sets at 12 degrees and it has been confirmed by the astronomers. Okay? If you look into astronomy and the people who have knowledge of this, you can go on any website, they'll tell you that there are only three twilights. And one of them is 6 degrees, which we're not going to look at. That's used by the sailors who travel by sea. And the other is the nautical twilight, which is 12 degrees. 12 degrees. When the sun has gone 12 degrees below the horizon, that redness will now disappear. Because when the sun set, you could see the redness of the sun. When the sun has gone lower, all the way to 12 degrees, the redness has disappeared. So that is known as Shafaqi Ahmar. And that's where the redness will disappear. The next one is Shafaqi Abyad, which is the whiteness. Okay, I should use a K there. Shafaqi Abyad, which is known as the white horizon. And in English, it is known as the astronomical twilight. That is the whiteness in the sky. Okay, so after the redness has gone, after 12 degrees, there will be whiteness in the horizon. So when you will look at the sunset, where the sun set, when the sun has gone 18 degrees below the horizon, that is when that whiteness will disappear. But all the way from 12 degrees until 18, you will see whiteness in the sky. So let's say when the sun reaches here, this will be 18 degrees. Okay, so if the sun is here, that will be known as the 18 degree horizon. So the astronomical twilight, which is known as the Shafaqi Abyad, will disappear at that point. And once that has disappeared, it will become complete darkness. Okay, it will be completely dark. So from this, we should have now understood. Does everybody understand that? Any questions on that? Okay, so when the sun is 18 degrees below the horizon, that is when the horizon will become completely dark. This is Sayyid Ali Sam. So from now until now, we have understood that when the sun sets, there will be redness in the sky. When it goes lower, all the way to 12 degrees, then the redness will disappear and whiteness will appear. Until then, it is still the time of Maghrib, according to Imam Azam Abu Hanifa radiallahu ta'ala. And when the sun goes even lower, to 18 degrees, that is when it will become completely dark. And that is the time of Isha Salah. Okay, now if you ask the astronomers, the observatory, what time that is, they will tell you exactly what time that is. And not only the astronomers, you can go on any website, for example, the BBC website. Even if you go on the BBC News website on the internet, they have a timetable calculator. And you can calculate exactly what time the sun will be 18 degrees below the horizon. And it will tell you exactly what the time of Isha is. Okay? It will tell you exactly what the time of Isha is. And as I said, that according to the calculations that we do, we have such accuracy that we even know the exact seconds of when that occurs. Okay? So, from where the person is standing, if we said the sun set at 90 degrees, what the ulama-i kiram say is the Isha time begins at 108. So this angle, can you see this angle? Is 108 degrees. And that is where the Isha time begins and it becomes completely dark. Does everybody understand that? Okay, so this is the actual time of the Isha Salah. When the sun has gone 18 degrees below the horizon, that is when the Isha time begins and the horizon has to be completely dark. And when it becomes completely dark, that is when the Isha time begins. Now if you look at the timetables that the ulama-i kiram have made, the new ones, then you will see that the time of Isha is far later than the time of Isha in the very old timetables. Okay, because they took it from Bahari Shariat, where it said Yaha ke liye, meaning in India, 1 hour 20 minutes, 1 hour 30 minutes, Isha time begins, that was incorrect. Okay, so somebody might ask a question, that if the sun moves at the same speed for us in England and it moves at the same speed for them in India, then why is it that it takes the sun to set after it's setting, why does it take it 1 hour 20 minutes to go 18 degrees below the horizon, and why in the UK does it take 2 hours to go 18 degrees below the horizon? It's a valid question. Okay, somebody may ask that. That if it's the same sun in India, same sun in the UK, we have the same sun in Pakistan, why is it that the movement of the sun is a lot faster there and a lot slower here? Simple answer to that is, if you look at the globe, where are we on the globe on the equator line? Are we far away from the equator line, or are we closer to the equator line? We're far away. Okay? And when we are further away from the sun, the movement of the sun is going to be slower for us. And those who are closer to the sun, for them the movement will be faster. A simple example for you to understand is, if an aeroplane goes past us in the sky, far above us in the sky, you will see that aeroplane moving. You can see it slowly, and you'll keep watching it for a minute, maybe more, sometimes maybe 3 minutes. You'll see it's coming right above our head, and it's moving, it's still moving, and now it's gone. You will see that aeroplane for a certain period of time. But if that very aeroplane was to fly past, really close to our houses, how long would you be able to see that aeroplane? It would go past in a split second. Hannah? Because it is closer. Same speed. Let's say it's traveling at 500 miles per hour up there, and this one's traveling 500 miles per hour as well. Exactly the same speed. But due to the plane being further away from us, it was slower, and because it was closer to us, it moved a lot faster. Okay? So because we live in a country which is further away from the equator, where the sun's usual movement is, we find that the movement of the sun is a lot slower for us. Okay? Does that make sense? Simple to understand. That is why you will see, if you phone Pakistan or if you phone India and you ask them, what is the difference between your Zohar Salah and Asr Salah in the winter, how much time do we have between Zohar and Asr?
An hour
and something. But if you phone Pakistan, they'll say 5 ghante, 4 ghante. Okay, so if that can be different, then why can Maghrib and Isha, the time between Maghrib and Isha, not be different? Okay, it's simple to understand that. Now, what we need to understand is those days, as somebody asked, those days when the Isha time does not occur. How is that? How is it that we don't see the time of Isha in the UK? To understand that, if we have the Earth here, and we have the equator line there, the movement of the sun, in the normal days, it's around the equator. Okay? It goes round here. And what happens to the sun, the inclination of the sun, is we know that sometimes you have 6 months of night and 6 months of day here and here. Hannah, we know that. The reason why that is because the movement of the sun, it starts to move towards the north here. Okay? And these are the days the sun starts moving around here, and it starts moving around here, and this is when these people will not see day for 6 months. Okay? And then the time comes when the sun starts returning back, and it starts returning, and it starts going around this way, okay? And it starts coming here, and this is where the sun. And when the sun is moving around here, this is when there's no day for 6 months in that place. Does that make sense? Simple to understand. Now, yes?
May I ask a question?
Of course.
You're saying that the Earth is moving around the Earth.
Yeah.
That's a contradiction to what we're taught here in colleges and universities.
Okay, the answer to that is, yeah?
So on one hand, you're using certain aspects of modern astronomical knowledge and data to further your argument or your case, and on the other hand, you're disputing some aspects of it.
Okay, good question, but the astronomers use this very example, okay, to explain the movement of the sun. They say that the Earth moves around the sun, okay? But when they are explaining the movement of the sun, Mele Shams, they call it the inclination of the sun. Although the sun does not move this, according to them, they still call it the inclination of the sun. And even though, according to them, that the sun does not move, they still call it sunrise. Okay? They will still call it sunrise and sunset. They won't say that the Earth has risen towards the sun, or the earth has set from the sun. They say sunrise and sunset. Okay, so I'm not trying to say here that the sun is moving. If you believe that the earth is moving around the sun, then that's the movement of the earth. Because of the movement of the earth, the sun's existence moves this way. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, so I'm not trying to say that the sun is moving around the earth in this manner. Yes.
So it's not the position of the sun, it's the tilt of the earth.
You can say that. Okay.
Is that correct?
Whether you believe that the earth is stationary or you believe that the sun is stationary and the earth is moving around the sun, this is a simple example to show you where the existence of the sun is. Okay, throughout the year. The existence of the sun throughout the year. So whether you believe that the sun is stationary and the earth is moving, or whether the sun, or whether the sun is stationary and the the earth is stationary and the sun is moving, this is the position of the sun throughout the year on the earth. Okay. The astronomers, they use this example. They have a globe. They have a globe which is the earth, and what they have is they have the lines drawn on it. This is the movement of the sun throughout the year. Okay, this is exactly that. They're not contradicting themselves. What they are saying is that is the position of the sun throughout the year. Okay? And what the science says today, although they do say that the earth is moving around the sun, they also say that the sun is also moving. Okay? So it's a whole cycle where all the planets are moving around the sun and the sun is at the same time moving as well. Okay, so the sun is not stationary according to this. Scientists today. Does that make sense now? The movement, why we have 6 months of day and 6 months of night. Okay, so when the sun is moving around the north, these people will say, we'll see daytime for 6 months. If we rub that off, and I'll just explain to you what we see in the UK. And I have myself seen this. And I'm sure many of you will have also seen this.
Question there. Question.
Sorry, I just want to be absolutely clear on this. You're saying that we say that the sun is moving. I think we gauge our timings or day and night because we can observe the movement of the sun in relation to the earth. Because we are on the planet Earth, we cannot observe the movement of the earth in relation to where we are in the universe. So the fact of the matter is that we have a changing of seasons and the timings because of the Earth's tilt. The Earth does not rotate on its axis from north to south. It rotates at an angle of 23.5 or 24 degrees.
Okay.
And that is the reason why we have spring, summer, winter, and autumn.
Okay.
Is that
fine. If that is what you believe, then that's fine. I have no objection. Okay.
The point that they're trying to.
You see, to me, it's not relevant. Okay, I'm sorry, but to me, what I am explaining is the position of the sun and the earth when it is time for Isha or when it is time for Zohar. Okay, when we will see the sun over there and it's set. Okay, and it's just gone below the horizon. For us, that is relevant. That is the time of the Maghrib Salah. Now, whether that sun has moved or not, and the earth has tilted, or that's not relevant for me. Do you understand what I'm saying?
I'm not trying to be awkward.
Yeah.
I think it's really important to set the scene so that people know why do we have this period between May and the end of July when there is no time for Isha.
Okay.
That's the reason why I'm saying it.
Did everybody understand what's your name, brother? Did everybody understand what Zahir said? Okay, do you understand now why the seasons occur? Okay,
Mufti,
explain that.
Mufti sir, actually if you continue with the timing, Zahir, what it is, yeah, we're just looking at the timing, okay? Let's take the timing in consideration, yeah? Well, whether it's okay, well,
Jazakallah. Just repeat the point you made the diagram.
No, they're here from
Urdu. Urdu ka sawal dohra dijiye to.
Acha, asal mein main ye keh raha hu ke jo duniya ka kurra hai, theek hai, us pe suraj ki gardish jo hoti hai, suraj ki jo gardish hoti hai, wo equator line ke ird gird ghumti hai, phir shimali janib ho jati hai. ٹھیک ہے جب شمالی جانب اس کی گردش ہوئی میل شمس اس طرف ہو گیا تو یہاں پر چھ مہینے کے لیے رات دیکھیں گے. پھر وہ سورج کی گردش اوپر پھرنے کے بعد پھر نیچے آتی ہے ٹھیک ہے. اور یہ قرہ جو ہے وہ اشرفیہ میں جو پڑھاتے تھے نا پہلے حضرت, حضرت کو تو بہت اچھی طرح معلوم ہے کہ ایک قرہ there is a globe.
وہ حرکت اس کو بھی بات کر
سوال کیا ہے.
ہاں تو وہ یہ کہہ رہے ہیں کہ یہ جو آپ بتا رہے ہیں تو اس سے یہ سمجھ میں آ رہا ہے کہ سورج گردش کرتا ہے. حالانکہ سائنس یہ کہہ رہی ہے اور آپ کب سے اسٹرانومیکل باتیں کہہ رہے ہیں تو پھر آپ ایک طرف تو ان کی باتیں لے رہے ہیں کہ اور ایک طرف یہ کہہ رہے. تو میں یہ اس کا جواب دے رہا ہوں حضرت کہ یہ جو بات میں نے کہی ہے کہ سورج اس طرح گردش کرتا ہے قرہ پہ یہ بات بھی انہی کی ہے ٹھیک ہے. اور اس سے صرف ہم یہ بتانا چاہتے اس ایگزامپل سے کہ اس وقت جس وقت ہماری نماز ہے اس وقت سورج کہاں ہوتا ہے اور دنیا کہاں ہوتی ہے ارتھ کہاں ہوتی ہے. اور چاہے سورج ہل رہا ہو یا دنیا ہل رہی ہو اس سے ہمیں کوئی مطلب نہیں.
ایک بات اس کو اور بتائیے کہ ہم مسلمان ہیں, اللہ و رسول کا حکم وہ ہمارے لیے ہے.
بالکل
اللہ عز و جل فرماتا کلن فی فلکن یسبحون. تو یہ سائنسداں اگر کہتے ہیں کہ سورج نہیں چلتا ہے وہ بعد میں جب سمجھ میں آ جائے گا تو ٹھیک ہو جائیں گے.
بالکل
سورج کی بھی اپنی گردش ہے. اور وہ جو معاملہ ہے زمین کی گردش کا وہ اس کے منافی نہیں ہے. ان اللہ یمسک السماوات والارض ان تزول. قرآن پاک کی جو ہدایات ہیں سائنس کے سامنے نہ یہ اس کو کہیے کہ مطلب قرآن دیے کہتے ہیں.
Yeah, actually in 10-15 minutes if you can conclude the main issue of the timing and often see for that.
وہ اپنے محور کے ارد گرد بھی گھومتی ہے. تو جب زمین گھومتی ہے اپنے محور کے ارد گرد تو اس سے بھی جو سورج کی پوزیشن چینج ہو جاتی ہے. تو بیسکلی میرے ایکسپلین دس ان دا بگننگ بیکاز وی آر
نو نو نہیں اصل میں
The Quran Sharif says kullun fi falakin yasbahun, very famous verse from Surah Yasin, which means everything in the atmosphere is moving, which includes the sun. Okay? So if the Quran is saying, if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the creator, says that the sun is moving as well, then the sun is moving as well. Okay? And as for whether the sun moves or the earth moves, Imam Ahmad Raza radiallahu ta'ala, quoting the verse of the Quran which Hazrat just quoted before, that the Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has held the earth in such a manner that it does not move from its place. Okay? So that is the opinion according to the Muslims. And Hazrat said that when the scientists will understand that, they will also realize. There are things that the scientists never understood before, they understood today. It's possible that they may understand that later. Okay, so what I was saying is the time of Isha, when the sun's movement is around the north, and we are in the northwest.
Sorry.
Actually,
sun ki jo hai do chaal hai. ایک بذات خود سن کی چال قرون کے فلکے سے اور ایک ہے طبعی چال ہے کہ ارض بالارض چال. جیسے ہم ٹرین جا رہی اس طرف
جی
ٹھیک ہے اور ہم اسی ٹرین میں بیٹھے ہوئے اپنے گھر آ رہے ہیں تو ہم ایک چال ہے. ہم تو جائیں گے اس میں
دیکھو ایسا ہے کہ میں انشاءاللہ ابھی اس کو مطمئن کر دوں.
اچھا ٹھیک ہے ایسا ہے نا آپ کا سوال
انشاءاللہ بلی میں خود نے میں انشاءاللہ دل
کلیئر مختصر
حضرت جو
نہیں جو اصل میں بتائیں گے
بھائی اس کو ایسا نہ بولو کہ مجھے دے دو منٹ پھانس جاؤ
مفتی صاحب ٹھیک ہے نصف لیل کی آپ بات کریں.
اچھا ٹھیک
اس کے اوپر مولانا صاحب دو منٹ رک جائیں ورنہ وہ آپ کے لیے
اوکے اوکے
we shall come back to that, okay? At the moment, I don't want you to be confused from where I was, okay? So the movement of the sun has now come to the north. Okay, so the sun is moving around the northern part of the earth, as in its presence is there, okay? So now, what we see in the UK, and as I was saying that I have seen many a times, and many of you may have also seen, that throughout the night, you see that the horizon is still bright. Okay, there is light there. The sun has not gone so low that the sun, that the horizon has now become dark. So what happens is, the movement of the sun is such that in normal days, the sun comes out of the east. Okay, so let's say this is east, and the sun has come out, and it goes all the way above us, goes down, and that's gone down in the west. That's a 12-hour day. And it's gone 12 hours below the horizon, and it's come back round. Okay, that's a normal day we see. But what happens in these days is that the sun comes out, rather than it coming out from directly in the east, it comes out in the northern east. Okay, because the movement of the sun has now slowly moved towards the north. So what's happening now is the sun is coming out of the northern east, and it is going round. So it's coming out, not going straight, but it is coming near the center, and then it's going round, and it goes round, and it goes back down in the northwest. Okay? Does that make sense? Okay, so if the sun has come out from the east, it has come out from the northeast, and it's gone down in the northwest. And the reason why our day is so long is because the sun has moved all the way around the earth, and then it has gone back down. It's not a simple go out and go down there. Okay, it's come round. And that's why we see that we have a very long day. Sun rises about between four and five, and the sun sets around between 9 and 10. Okay? So that's a very long day. This is the reason why it happens. So what's happened is the sun, we are here, person is here, this is the earth, the sun has set, and it's not, let's say this is 18 degrees, let's say that is 18 degrees, okay, I'm sure that is a lot more, but let's just say that is 18 degrees. The sun has come, it's set, and it's gone down, and it's come back up here. That's the movement of the sun. Okay, so sun has risen here, set here, and it's gone down, and it's come, and the day is long, the night is short. And the sun has not gone so low that the darkness appears and the whiteness disappears. Does that make sense? Okay, and you will see, and I have seen many a times in Nottingham, where Jamil Karam is in the countryside, and you can see where the sun has set, and we could see that the whole horizon is white, and the sun would come out from that side. Okay, and we'd see that everything is white here, and slowly the whiteness moves that way, and the whiteness never disappears. So the time of Isha has not appeared. Now, what do the ulama-i kiram say in such situations? Okay, and this is nothing new. This is something that the ulama-i kiram have mentioned in their books for years and years and years, over hundreds of years, and I believe Mufti Sahib Qibla has also given a piece of text from a scholar from the 3rd century of Islam, okay, which is very shocking. So this is nothing new, this is something that our ulama-i kiram have known hundreds and hundreds of years ago, okay, over even 1,000 years ago. And this show, and in them days, you got to remember, in the past, the Muslims were at the top in mathematics, astronomy, and all of these. And these are the decisions that those ulama-i kiram have made, which Mufti Sahib Qibla has with him. He has also presented them many a times before. Okay, so what do the ulama-i kiram say in regards to such a night? Where the north, let's say this is north, this is south, this is east, and this is west. Okay, so the sun has set in the west, and it comes out in the east. Okay, so let's say that the sun is coming out from here, and the sun is going down here. Okay, so this is where sun is setting, and this is where sun is rising. And what is happening is that once the sun has set here, this becomes white. There is redness there. And sometimes when the redness disappears, there is whiteness. It hasn't become dark. It hasn't become dark, and this has become white, which means it's time for Fajr. Okay, does that make sense? Okay, this is why there's a problem with the time of Isha. Because it has not yet become completely dark.
And the hadith of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam was clear. He does what the shafaq. When the shafaq becomes completely dark, that is when the Isha time begins. And that has not happened. Okay? And what has happened is the Quran says, كُلُوا وَاشْرَبُوا حَتَّى يَتَبَيَّنَ لَكُمُ الْخَيْطُ الْأَبْيَضُ مِنَ الْخَيْطِ الْأَسْوَدِ مِنَ الْفَجْرِ. And the whiteness has appeared here. If the whiteness has appeared here, then it is time for Fajr. You cannot eat anymore. If you will eat, you are going directly against the Quran. Because the Quran, the verse of the Quran says that when that whiteness appears from the darkness, it's dark here. The sun has set, there's whiteness here. And that whiteness doesn't disappear and it slowly starts appearing here. As soon as that whiteness appears, the time of Fajr has now begun. And if you are fasting the next day, you must not be eating anymore. Does that make sense? Now the problem is, and I'm going to be quite absolutely frank here. Some people say that in them days, you will eat at 2 o'clock. You will stop eating at 2 o'clock. Hannah, 2:27, whatever they say. But I want to make it absolutely clear that if somebody is eating at that time, then their fast is not valid. Okay, and I speak for myself. I'm not speaking for Hazrat. I am speaking for myself and I'm saying this. Okay? Reason why is because the ulama-i-kiram has given us, the ulama-i-kiram, I don't want anybody to go away from here and say that Mufti Shamsul Huda Sahib was saying this, or I am saying myself. Okay, so if anybody has a problem with that, then you speak to me. Okay? So when the thing is, the ulama-i-kiram say, when this whiteness is not disappearing and the whiteness is also starting to appear here, how will we determine the time of the Maghrib, Shafaq, the Shafaq of sunset, the horizon of sunset, from the horizon of sunrise? How will we differentiate between them? Okay, because this is all slowly mixed into one. How do we differentiate? So as I was saying, this is the east and this is the west. So let's say the sun has set there and the sun is coming out here. This has all become white. And this is the north. Okay, so how do we differentiate whether this is the time of Maghrib, this horizon is for sunset, or is it because the sun is about to rise? How do we differentiate? So the ulama-i-kiram say, we halve the night. Okay, draw a whole line all the way to the north. When the sun has set in the west, as the sun is on this, on the western side of the horizon, we will regard that as the horizon of sunset. We will regard that as the horizon of sunset. As soon as the sun comes to the middle, the center, to the northern point, which is half of the night, that's the half of the night, midnight that is. As soon as it comes there, we will regard it as the shafaq for sunrise. Okay? Now, anybody who has common sense, you tell me that everybody is agreeing. Nobody disagrees to the fact that the whiteness does not disappear. Okay? So the whiteness is always there. Everybody agrees to that. There is nobody that disagrees to that. Okay? So what I'm saying is, when the whiteness appears here, everybody agrees that if Sahri is finished. Okay? Whiteness appears, Sahri khatam. Fajr ka waqt shuru. Everybody agrees to that. So what I'm saying is, when the sun comes in the middle, is there any doubt that there will be whiteness here? Is there any doubt in that? Common sense will tell you that as soon as the sun, if the shafaq is all becoming white, and it's hard to distinguish between sunrise and sunset, the horizon, when the sun has come right in the center, is it possible that we can only, the sun is there and we can only see whiteness on one side and we can't see it on the other side? That's not possible. It is aqlan muhal. It is not possible according to common sense. So how is it possible that midnight is exactly when the sun is on the northern point, which I believe they call the zenith. How is it possible that somebody will still be eating? How is it possible that somebody would still be eating when there is whiteness present there? And somebody will carry on eating until 2 o'clock. That's not possible and it doesn't make sense to me. Okay? And it is common sense if you understand this. If the sun is right in the middle, then there has to be whiteness here. There has to be whiteness. And as it moves here, there is whiteness there, no doubt about it. Okay? And if midnight, according to every single person in the UK, midnight is about 1 o'clock, because we're 1 hour ahead of Greenwich time, you know, when we add the 1 hour, that's why midnight is not 12, it's 1. Okay? Because we're 1 hour ahead of our Greenwich. So midnight is at 1:08, 1:20. Then there is definitely, with certainty, without a doubt, whiteness present, the shafaq-e abyad is present on the horizon of sunrise, you cannot eat them. Okay? And if somebody tells you that you can still carry on eating until 2 o'clock, how can you? The Quran is saying that when that whiteness appears, you must not eat anymore. Okay? And this is why I'm not only telling you the hukum of Sharia, I'm pleading to you that these are the fasts. And this is a pillar of Islam. Okay? And even if it was possible that Sahri ended at 2 o'clock, then I'm still telling you, because of this, which must create at least a doubt in your mind that yes, actually the whiteness will have appeared now. So you must stop eating at that time. Okay? And that time is about 1:08 or 1:20. And whatever it is, it evolves around that time, you must stop eating. Okay? Because that whiteness is now present. Does that make sense? Okay? And isn't that common sense? Does anybody still think that's not common sense? If that sun is going to be in the center, there has to be whiteness there. It is impossible for there not to be whiteness. Okay? Unless you somehow put a barrier there so that the sunlight doesn't go that way.
Yeah.
Does everybody understand that? Any questions on that?
One question. Is it permissible to move Fajr time backwards then? So if there's no congregation, some of the masjids are doing Fajr like say 3 o'clock. If you were to push your back Fajr to 4 to 2 to accommodate everybody else, is that permissible? Instead of people leaving by themselves at home and going to sleep.
As for it being permissible, it is permissible. However, the mustahab time for Fajr is to pray as late as possible, when it becomes bright. Okay, so it is permissible, but as Muslims we should always follow that which is mustahab, and mustahab is to pray, perform the Fajr Salah. Okay? And Hazrat is saying that just to perform that mustahab, you must not miss your Fajr. Okay? For example, performing Salah with Jama'ah is wajib, and you should not miss that. Okay, another question. Is there any question that I've still not explained that somebody asked?
I was just going to say thank you for your explanation. You've answered my question initially, which I proposed regarding the different formulas and whether some of them are right, or if all or if one. What you've clarified is the confusion that I had in my mind, that for example, following Salah, there chronologically there is time. You know, the Zuhr Salah doesn't overlap the Asr Salah. And our confusion here was that Sahri is happening, some are reading Fajr, yet others are still completing their Sahri. So there's an overlap there. And you've
I'll also mention that there are some formulas like Aqrabul Ayyam and Aqrabul Bilad, follow the closest country, follow the closest times when it did occur. There is no need for that. Okay, the reason why there is no need for that, for Sahri, is because as soon as the whiteness appears there, you have to stop eating. The Quran says that. The time when we must use, when such formulas may be used, is when there is whiteness there already after sunset. Okay, so the sun has set and it's already white where the sun is going to rise. If that was the case, then according to Imam Shafi'i, as our Hanafi ulama have said, that the call of the other mazhabs, like the Shafi'i mazhab, is to follow the Aqrabul Bilal, Aqrabul Ayyam. Okay, but that is when the whiteness appears as soon as the sun has set. Does that make sense? But here that's not happening. The sun is setting and then after a while the whiteness appears on the sunrise horizon, which is when we must stop eating. Okay? Okay, Jazakallah khair.
Brother, your question there?
You see, if you ask them that if somebody is eating after 2 o'clock, what is the hukum? They will say that that person's fast is not valid. Okay? In the same way, if someone is eating after the whiteness has appeared in the horizon, which is midnight, which we have established, then their fast will not be valid. Okay? Yeah, their justification is, I'll just leave it to Hazrat. Hazrat will answer these questions. And if you need explanation in English, then I shall translate that, okay?
Inshallah. Jazakumullah Mufti Sahib, for your own explanation. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you.
Just to finish up really, thank you for that presentation, Mufti Sahib. Yeah. Very convincing presentation.
MashaAllah.
Likewise, a lot of presentations from people who are proponents of the other formulas also have very convincing arguments. It's like climate change. People either believe in climate change or they don't. And you'll find that most of the people on either camp, in either camp, are using the same texts, the same data, the same information to propagate and to promote their own views.
Okay, can I just?
I totally agree, and I follow the calendar.
For those people, very very briefly, for those people who cannot understand what to follow and which scholar, which presentation to follow, my humble request to them is to simply close your fast, meaning end your sahri, to the soonest possible time, okay? And to perform your Fajr Salah at the latest possible time. If you can do that, then you are protected in all ways. And in that manner, you can't go wrong. Okay?
On that, I agree, Mufti Sahib, that you should always err on the side of caution. There's a hadith, our beloved Prophet, I don't know how authentic this is, but our beloved Prophet said that these rulings apply to places where it's normality, normal times. In any other places, you should estimate. What are your views on that?
I've never come across such a.
I will find the reference.
Inshallah. There is one hadith in Mubarakah in the collection of hadith here, which is Gigi. Which is basically the hadith is known as hadith al-Dajjal, and Fuqaha Kiram has basically spoken on that.
You see, there is a hadith of Dajjal where the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said that a day will be so many years long. Okay, that is when a day, meaning sunrise and sunset, exceeds 24 hours. Okay, that is a different, totally different situation than what we have today. We in the UK, within 24 hours, have a sunrise and we have a sunset. Okay? Our day does not exceed 24 hours. For those places where they have 6 months of daylight, they may apply the hadith of Dajjal. And this is not what I'm saying. This is what the Fuqha Hanafiya have said. Okay? This is what the Hanafi Fuqha Kiram have said, that the hadith of Dajjal will apply in such places, not in these places. Okay, and it's to me it's common sense.
Jazakumullah. The reason that I am